Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Ian, Bonnie, and Aria joining you here tonight. We're talking about the ongoing attacks against the cryptocurrency industry. It is getting uglier and uglier as just the days go by. They've gone after Kraken, one of the largest crypto exchanges in the United States, get $30 million out of them to avoid going through the potential lawsuit with the SEC.
And isn't it sad that, and, you know, I'm not knocking them for this. Hey, Kraken's position was, you know, we're going to pay a lot more money, even if we win. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost us a lot more than $30 million to fight the SEC on this. So we're just going to pay them this money and do what they ask. Isn't it sad that there's even a state of affairs in the United States where a company is like, look, it doesn't matter if we're right or wrong.
Yeah, I thought the justice system was supposed to, you know, produce justice, not be used as a threat.
And they're like, it doesn't matter if we're right or wrong. It doesn't matter if the SEC is right or wrong. It's just a matter of minimizing the damage at this point that the government is going to do to us.
By the way, Nexo, which was one of the major centralized finance competitors to Celsius, has also announced that they will be stopping any kind of what they call earn program. So, which was the only reason why anyone would use Nexo, because they were one of those companies where, you, like you described last hour, Aria, they would loan people's Bitcoin out and then you'd get a return on, that might have been 5% or something like that, but it's something. Now, of course, the bad side of it is you're giving your Bitcoin over to a third party who could fail, so, I mean, it's probably not a good plan to do it, but now U.S. customers cannot do that anymore with Nexo. Nexo just said, and I think they were threatened, which is why they did this, but they came out with a press release saying, sorry, U.S. customers, you can still, now this was, I think, last week, you can still exchange on our platform, but you can't earn anything anymore. So it's like, well, why would anyone use their service? And so there's just been so many different attacks. We kind of recapped that earlier. But I wanted to get into the other side of this. So, yeah, they've been threatening the cryptocurrency exchanges and the cryptocurrency developers and the individuals, as they've done with our case, Aria, the Crypto 6. You can learn more about that at thecrypto6.com, where we're facing prison.
And this is why decentralized autonomous organizations are the way of the future. If you have a head to cut off, the government has shown time and time again that they will cut that head off. And you can be the hiker if you'd like. That's certainly one approach, right? This worked fairly well for the Pirate Bay and some other organizations in the past, where if you cut one head off, a dozen more sprout in its place. And, that's an approach. But now there's this technology or this concept called the decentralized autonomous organization. And to me, that seems like the way to go. Don't even give them a target.
That's the direction Shapeshift has gone, which is one of the first cryptocurrency online exchanges where you didn't used to need an account. And then all of a sudden, a few years later, or several years ago, then they did require accounts for Shapeshift. We think they were threatened by the federal government in order to do that.
They required an account and an ID, didn't they?
And know your customer procedures, which they had never done before. And so then 2 years ago, Shapeshift announced that they were sick of dealing with all this government crap. And they were just going to decentralize the company. So they are the first corporation, I believe, to decorporatize, to eliminate the board of directors, to eliminate the CEO, to eliminate the entire corporate structure and go into a decentralized autonomous organization mode, which I agree with you, Aria, is probably a good plan for any companies that are still in existence that want to avoid this attack that is coming. This attack is coming.
But it's not just coming, it's happening.
It's happening, yeah. If it hasn't happened to you yet, it's just because you're lucky. That's all. If it hasn't happened to your company. Now, but the thing I wanted to point out here is it is not just happening to the crypto industry. It's also happening on the banking side. And so that's where this Operation Choke Point 2.0 comes in. This is an article from piratewires.com, and I believe this is a Substack. Nick Carter is the writer here. And he says, what began as a trickle is now a flood. The U.S. government is using the banking sector to organize a sophisticated, widespread crackdown against the crypto industry.
Well, and this was always going to happen. The two industries are at odds.
They don't have to be.
I mean, they kind of do. I would suggest the cryptocurrency industry exists to put the banking industry out of business, replace it with a fairer approach.
I get what you're saying, and certainly you could argue that that was the intention of Satoshi Nakamoto, was to undermine the banking structures. But I would suggest that Satoshi was more concerned with the big banks and the central banks than the whole concept of banking. I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong, I don't believe, with the idea of handing over a valuable to somebody who can do a better job at protecting it for you. Like, that's kind of the idea behind banking. Now, it's become corrupted in that it's a completely federally and state-regulated business.
And protected, and they get to do all these things that they didn't get to do when they first opened.
Yeah, there's no doubt. They've got a special status. They can print money from thin air. I'm no fan of the banking cartel. There's no doubt about it. But I think there's a world of difference between Bank of America and the little bank down on the corner here in Keene, New Hampshire, that's owned by local people that you can walk into the office and they know your name, and like, you can meet with the president if you want to. Because I've actually done that here at one of the banks in this town. I feel like there's a difference there.
If we assume that, like, fractional reserve banking, which is this concept where you put your money into the bank and they loan out more money than they actually have, if we strip that out altogether, because that's immoral and it's a terrible idea.
Wrong.
Yes. So if we ignore that, I would tend to agree that there is value in, like, I don't want to keep, 100 ounces of gold at my house. I don't have 100 ounces of gold, but if I did, I wouldn't want to keep it at my house.
You'd want to keep it in somebody's got a vault where it's safe.
Right. I wouldn't want to keep it in a safe in my bedroom or whatever. I would want to put it in an actual vault where it's under presumably armed guards and it's really hard to get into.
Yeah.
Whether
you want to call it a bank or a warehouse or an armed warehouse or whatever, I think is irrelevant. But the concept of the service isn't without its value.
Sure. And if that's what banks were doing, and there were, just small banks that, like the Savings Bank of Walpole here in Keene.
That's the bank I was thinking of.
That just sort of offer these vault services, and even if it's just cash that you want to store there, that's still not necessarily a problem in and of itself.
Right.
I think I agree with you, but because the fractional reserve system is so tied into everything, then it's hard to separate the two.
Now, as much as we might want people to adopt the not your keys, not your coins viewpoint of the crypto world, which is to say that if you aren't in control of your cryptocurrency and you've given it over to someone else to control, then you shouldn't be too surprised if that person runs off with the money or their business fails and, sorry, it's not there anymore or whatever, right? Like, they're bankrupt, they've lost the money, they invested it, and it didn't work out. There's been all these stories over the year. Or maybe they just got hacked, right? So, like, having your own control over that is definitely the ideal situation. That's the sort of the pinnacle of crypto ownership, is where you control your own keys. And so, therefore, anything that goes wrong is your fault. So if you lose your keys, that's your fault. You can't blame anybody else. Which is, of course, exactly why a lot of people will be uncomfortable with that.
Yeah, there's no recovery mechanism. It's not like your bank. If you forget your login, you can contact your bank and we can reset your password. No. If you lose access to your crypto wallets, it's gone.
Yeah.
That's it.
And even people who take it seriously can still lose those things.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people who have not taken it seriously and have definitely lost those things. So you can understand why there's always going to be a demand for third-party custodies of things like this. Because it's just, some people don't have what it takes. They may want to get into crypto, but they're not comfortable running their own wallet. You can tell them all you want about how to do it, but if they're just writing down their passwords in like a little black book, and then they're storing that in their purse, they're at a high risk of somebody snatching that information, right?
But if so, then they're also at a high risk of doing that with their bank accounts and their debit cards and all of this stuff, right? Like
there's no perfect security out there, but there's at least the illusion of it or the feeling of it, and that's what banks bring to the table for people.
So in regard to banks, there's a possibility of recovery of funds. Like, if you're an idiot writing down your PIN number on the back of your debit card or whatever, and someone finds or steals it, and they use it, and they withdraw, you know, $5,000 or whatever, your bank can return that money to you in most cases.
And at the very least, if you forget your PIN, that you can go there, show your ID, and they'll reset it for you, right? With crypto, if you forget your info, sorry, there's nobody that can help you.
Right, or if you write down your seed phrase, I saw a video recently where, you know, this guy was carrying around his crypto seed phrase in his wallet or whatever, and the police searched him, and the body camera was, like, put online, the body camera footage, and, like, there's this guy's seed phrase for the entire world to see.
Yeah. Within seconds, it was gone.
It's like, there's nothing you can do about that. There's no recovery mechanism.
Yeah, so I don't think that it's true that they have to be mutually exclusive. I think that there could be a group of banks, and they're... have been sort of these, I don't know what you want to call them, early birds or thought leaders or risky banks, banks that were willing to take a risk and try to do something with crypto, try to allow their customers to maybe buy a little bit of crypto or whatever it might be.
Isn't one of these major banks adding a crypto wallet?
Yeah, I seem to remember
never heard
about that.
I don't know. I bet you they're not.
I want to say it was Wells Fargo.
I bet you they're not going to after you hear this story. So they're coming after the banks now. They're spanning virtually every financial regulator, as well as its highly coordinated niche. The breadth of this plan and its highly coordinated nature has even the most steely-eyed crypto veterans nervous that crypto businesses might end up completely unbanked. Stablecoins may be stranded and unable to manage flows in and out of crypto, and exchanges might be shut off from the banking system entirely. He says,
I don't think so. All of the little players, certainly, but the Krakens, the Coinbase, and the Geminis, they won't get shut out of the banking system. Everyone else will be, but that's what the government wants.
You haven't heard any of this story yet.
I haven't.
I would say hold off on your decision on this.
Well, I've been saying this for years, though. I've been saying for years that the government wants to pigeonhole everyone into using one of these three or four companies for all of their cryptocurrency needs. That way they can control it.
It would be crazy if they even just are like, yeah, sorry, Kraken, I know you worked with us, but you're not getting any help from us either.
For crypto firms, obtaining access to onshore banking has always been a challenge. Even today, crypto startups struggle mightily to get banks, and only a handful of boutiques serve them. This is why stablecoins like Tether found popularity early on, to facilitate fiat settlement where the rails of traditional banking were unavailable. However, in recent weeks, the intensity of efforts to ring-fence the entire crypto space and isolate it from traditional banking have ratcheted up significantly. Specifically, the Biden administration is now executing what appears to be a coordinated plan that spans multiple agencies to discourage banks from dealing with crypto firms. It applies to both traditional banks who would serve crypto clients and crypto-first firms aiming to get bank charters. It includes the administration itself, influential members of Congress, the Fed, the FDIC, the OCC, and the DOJ. Here's a recap of notable events concerning banks and policy establishment in recent weeks. December 6th, several senators, including Elizabeth Warren, sent a letter to crypto-friendly bank Silvergate, scolding them for providing services to FTX and Alameda Research and lambasting them for failing to report suspicious activities.
I bet she took money from the Alameda people.
There's a good chance of it.
Elizabeth Warren, I'm pretty sure she did.
But
what is her right to even scold a bank for their dealings with anything just because she's some elected senator, right?
That's what government people do. They tell you when you're wrong. That you've been a bad boy.
Who asked her to do that?
Somebody
who's
in banking.
Who's she representing? Yeah, that's
what I'm
saying.
Somebody in the FDIC or whatever.
Is it the people who voted for her? No.
Well, she thinks it was, right? She thinks that she's a duly elected representative or senator or whatever the hell she is. And she probably, you know, buys into the whole thing. She bought her own press. She thinks that she's one of these people. She's doing the good thing. She's
protecting people,
She's doing justice.
So, and by the way, Silvergate Bank, guess who had accounts at Silvergate and besides FTX?
Kraken,
right?
Paxos, most of the cryptocurrency exchanges, I believe.
Yeah, it sounds familiar, right?
Yeah.
On December 7th, Signature, which is, by the way, among the most active banks serving crypto clients, announced its intent to have deposits ascribed to crypto clients. In other words, they'll give customers their money back, then close their accounts, drawing their crypto deposits down from $23 billion at peak to $10 billion, and to exit its stablecoin business. That's one day after they got the letter from Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, my God.
January 3rd, the Fed,
that
the FDIC.
Like it, that's $13 billion worth of funds and accounts that it just closed. It's
a lot of money.
Yeah. How's that not just like straight up fascism, like a politician?
Well, I don't think it was related, is what I was going to suggest. I mean, that's a remarkable turnaround.
There's a reason they did it.
Maybe they already agreed, but Elizabeth Warren was like, all right, you got to wait for us to put this letter out so I get the credit.
On January 3rd, the Fed, the FDIC, and the OCC, which OCC is the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, and that's another bank regulator, released a joint statement on the risks to banks engaging with crypto, not explicitly banning banks' ability to hold crypto or deal with crypto clients, but strongly discouraging them from doing so on a, quote, safety and soundness basis. We talked about that.
That's what I was going to suggest in regard to Silvergate, and the reason why I think why this Elizabeth Warren letters is coincidental, right? This is after the FTX collapse and the Alameda Research collapse, where Silvergate was like, "Ooh, we probably just lost a lot of money with these guys. Mm-hmm. These guys were ripping off all of these other customers. Mm-hmm. It's dangerous, and we have a lot of these other firms that seem like they could be just as bad as FTX. So
we'll just get rid of them.
Let's get rid of them."
Could have been coincidental, but still, it's not good for the industry.
I think I had more to do with FTX than I did Elizabeth Warren.
On January 9th, Metropolitan Commercial Bank, one of the few banks that serve crypto clients. I've seen that bank name on like one of the backs of one of my crypto debit cards over the years. Metropolitan Commercial Bank.
Never heard of it.
They're based in New York.
Okay.
Announced a total shutdown of its crypto asset related vertical, whatever that means.
How are they even doing that? I mean, like, they probably have crazy laws about crypto, even
for
the bank. How are they offering any crypto services as a bank? I mean, maybe they paid $100,000 or whatever.
They had agreements like, I don't know if it's Uphold or whoever it is, but if you were to look on the back
of
the
card, from New York.
They paid the New York regulators.
Mm.
So anyway, they're closing down all of their crypto asset related activities.
So this means banks, crypto debit cards, no longer will function? Is that right?
I presume that's what that means. I don't know exactly what it means, but it doesn't sound good. January 9th, Silvergate stock fell to a low of $11.55 on bank run and insolvency fears, having traded as high as $160 in March of 2022. So in less than a year, their stock is less than a tenth of what it was. On January 21st, Binance, the world's largest crypto exchange, announced that due to the policy at Signature Bank, a different bank that's somewhat crypto-friendly, they will only be processing user fiat transactions worth more than $100,000, which means they're basically cutting out all small buyers who want to transfer dollars to Binance.
Yeah, tell me about it, man. I mean, the average person does not have $100,000 they can just drop on Bitcoin.
On January 27th, the Federal Reserve denied, and we covered this story, crypto bank Custodia's two-year application, where it was sitting for 2 years, waiting for an answer, to become a member of the Federal Reserve System, citing safety and soundness risks again.
What was this?
Custodia. It's a crypto-formed bank made by people who are in the crypto industry who wanted to create their own bank, because that's what the solution was supposed to be, right? Like, you can't find a bank? Make your own bank! So they did. In fact, they went to Wyoming, which had passed a series of statutes within the last several years to allow for a special type of bank called a special depository institution, I believe. And so, like, this system was created in Wyoming specifically to welcome cryptocurrency businesses. That's why Kraken opened its own bank. They opened up a division in Wyoming to create the Kraken Commercial Bank, or whatever the hell it's called. Custodia was the other one.
Right.
So it was Kraken and Custodia that did it first.
Well, in theory, they shouldn't need the bank, right? The goal of Coinbase and these other cryptocurrency exchanges, it should be to eliminate the banks as no longer being necessary, because
But how are you going to get the dollars in?
Well, I mean, that's exactly, we want to phase out the dollars, right?
But how do you do that if you can't turn dollars into crypto?
Right, this is the issue with the on-ramps again.
Right, so the solution seemed like, hey, you can't find a bank account, having trouble finding banks, just make your own bank. Just follow all the rules, and then you'll have a crypto-friendly bank. Well, turns out you can't follow all the rules because the Federal Reserve said no. They applied. They did everything they were supposed to do. They, you know, hired all the lawyers.
People get cryptocurrency at the very beginning? That's what I guess I never thought
about
it. Somebody
bought some pizzas.
They mined it. How did they get it? Only mining?
Yeah, mining.
Is that there was no other way until there was an
exchange? That's how it all comes into existence.
Well, I guess people just got to get back to mining, and then the government's going to go after that, but it's going to be a lot harder.
They're going to come after mining, I think, next. They've gone after staking, so why not go after mining?
Someone pointed this out recently, and I had never considered it. I don't remember who it was, but it was here on the show. Maybe it was Peakless. They had mentioned that crypto mining is the one on-ramp that will almost always be decentralized. And sure, it's prohibitively expensive, and it's got all of these telltale marks like high electricity usage and stuff, but like that will always be a KYC on-ramp.
KYC free.
On-ramp into cryptocurrency. If you want to get Monero or Ravencoin or even Bitcoin, don't bother with Bitcoin, but if you want to get a cryptocurrency and you don't want to jump through all of these hoops, the easiest way of turning dollars into cryptocurrency is with mining.
But it's not easy. That's the problem. It's not easy. The average person can't do that. The average person doesn't want to take the time to buy custom mining equipment, figure out how to put it all together, figure out how to configure it, how to join a mining pool, how to hook up the wallet. I mean, this is an hours and hours and hours, if not days and days long process to make this work.
Well, being the easiest way to do it doesn't mean it's easy. It just means out of the multitude of options, it's the least bad.
It's a way to do it that cannot be stopped by the banking cartel or the government system, at least so far. But it's not easy for the average person. The Federal Reserve...
But Donald Trump was the most pro-LGBT president we ever had. That doesn't mean he was, pro-LGBT. He was just not the worst.
There are some websites that will allow you to rent mining equipment, which is probably easier than doing it yourself. I don't know if you can do it with dollars, though. I haven't done this in years since I got raided. But prior to the raid, I was experimenting with, I think the site was NiceHash. And you could only use, at least that I recall, I think you could only use Bitcoin. So it was like one of those things where, if you can't get the Bitcoin, you can't do the online mining. But maybe they have a credit card option. I just didn't look for it.
I wonder if that's sort of what they have in mind there. Is it exactly that? It's sort of a way of selling Bitcoin without selling Bitcoin. Because they're not selling Bitcoin, right? They're selling mining power.
They're selling mining, correct.
Interesting.
So let's see here. On January 27th, the Kansas City Federal Reserve Branch denied Custodia's application for a master account, which would have given them the ability to use wholesale payment services and to hold reserves with the Fed directly. So far, the doors have been completely closed on the cryptocurrency bank created by crypto people. On January 27th, the Fed also issued a policy statement which discouraged banks from holding crypto assets or issuing stablecoins and broadens their authority to cover non-FDIC-insured state-chartered banks regarding, for instance, the Wyoming Special Purpose Depository Institutions, which can hold crypto alongside fiat for its banking customers. So, again, they didn't say, banks, you can't do this. They just discouraged them. They just said, we don't think you should. If you're concerned about safety, and we're concerned about safety here at the Federal Reserve.
We don't want someone to come by and break your windows.
Yeah, we just think it might be a bad plan. We might not look kindly upon you if you're going to be going in this direction. And we're not saying you can't go in this direction, but maybe it won't really be good for you. And that's the kind of stuff they're doing right now. But there's more coming up here. We'll tell you about this crackdown on the banking industry trying to, they're doing Operation Choke Point 2.0. More coming up.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA USA News Update. 8 people were injured when a man took a truck on a rampage in New York City.
62-year-old Wang Soar sped through the streets of New York City Monday in a rented U-Haul truck. It's not clear what started the driving rampage, which ended near the Battery Tunnel. Police say Soar told them he wanted to die. Soar rented the truck in Florida on January 23rd. He also has 4 previous arrests in Nevada, where he used to live. 7 civilians and 1 police officer were injured.
Correspondent John Schaefer. Crews are having a difficult time accessing remote areas where debris from high-flying objects were shot down over Alaska, Canada, and Michigan over the weekend. No material from those shootdowns has been collected yet. But at the same time, more is being recovered from the payload of that earlier downed Chinese spy balloon off the coast of the Carolinas. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. We're talking about the attack against cryptocurrency, the industry, and also the banking side of things. They've been going after crypto programmers and crypto innovators, but they're also going after the banks that have been willing to do business with crypto firms, which there aren't very many of them, and now there are probably fewer because of the threats. And if there were banks that were planning on beginning to offer crypto offerings, whatever that might be, you know, deposits or helping customers with crypto or whatever it would be, they're now being threatened, just kind of threatened. They're being issued notices by the federal government saying that you're not being told you can't do these things, but we're basically saying you shouldn't do them because we wouldn't want you to be considered doing risky things with your customers' funds.
I mean, there's that, and there's the whole crypto winter thing. One of my memories came out today on Facebook. It's so poignant. Well, I pointed out a year ago, I said, hey, I just want you to remember before the Super Bowl starts, I want you to remember the dot-com bubble, and I want you to know that in 5 years, most of the crypto companies that you're about to see advertised won't exist.
That's a good point.
And I said this a year ago.
Did they have crypto ads this year?
No.
Oh, interesting.
No, I saw none, right?
Wow.
Because
of the crypto winter.
It's not the crypto winter, though. It's the collapse of the crypto bubble that these companies and NFTs all sort of created. They didn't even think it was a bubble, but yes, they created a bubble. And there's a lot of merit to cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency itself is going to persist beyond this bubble, but they did create a bubble, and it did burst.
Yeah.
And that's the crypto winter these companies are talking about.
Correct.
Oh, it turns out we were in a bubble. It was a false hype, and it did collapse.
And they couldn't afford the ads.
Right. And we didn't know that this was going to happen. Now we're all bankrupt, and it turns out that it was a bubble, and it burst, and now we're going broke.
Now they're probably all going to the government, and maybe that's sparking the government suddenly acting so hard.
When you say they're going to the government, what do you mean?
Well, Tom Brady losing his Bitcoin and FTX, you think he didn't, contact his lawyer to contact the government, you know, get something rolling? Like, what can I do about this? Not just Tom Brady, I just thought of him randomly, but, companies, huge companies, they don't like to just fail and just go oh, well, I'll do better next time. They think the government must protect them from failing.
Well, that ain't going to happen in the crypto world.
Well,
the state has pointed out that they're not going to. There was actually some statement.
Well, I know that.
But
the people who failed might be like, yeah, the government needs to do something about this, and they're bringing all this stuff to the attention of the government.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure the government's been paying close attention for years now, but it could be.
And I suspect a lot of these companies knew that it was a bubble. Some of them didn't seem to, like Crypto.com, they didn't seem to know that they were taking part in a bubble, and they were, one of the ones who were burnt worse than anyone.
They're still alive, though. They survived it so far.
Yeah, but a lot of these, I tend to think a lot of these companies knew. Like FTX, I think they knew what they were doing, and I think they did it on purpose.
Well, did you know that Bitcoin is going to add NFTs?
No, who's saying this?
Yeah, I saw something this weekend. Apparently, they're calling them Bitcoin Ordinals. But I don't know, which is a terrible name. I don't know if that's,
yeah.
I think it's worse than NFT.
Yeah, it is.
NFTs are dead already.
Why?
It's too late for one thing.
I guess they're going to try to bring them back. I don't know the details. I just saw something about it. Let's go to the phones here. Minor Ake is on the line. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey. Hello, everybody.
Hey, what's on your mind?
I would really like to be existing in New Hampshire, but so there's two things that concern me. One would be social, the other one financial.
Okay.
I live in a van, so if it's a place where I have to live somewhere with two or three Walmarts, maybe a truck stop or two around, that sort of thing. But then the financial part would be I've created a situation for myself where I have a few different people on the East Coast that are willing to pay me in cash, and I can just kind of travel around to who's willing to pay the most.
Okay.
So I am also kind of used to making a decent living.
Gotcha.
Even though the van situation. So, I would have to find somebody. I mean, I do spray foam insulation. I don't know if that, but if I could find somebody that's willing to pay in cryptocurrency or cash or whatever.
There's a lot of people up here in New Hampshire within the community of the Freedom Community that are willing to, take crypto as payment, and so I suspect some of them are willing to pay in cryptocurrency, but that would be something where you'd have to come up and, start meeting people and see who could use services like that.
Houses need insulation here, too.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't know. To me, it seems like the van, it might be the most difficult part, because at least from what I've heard from people that are RV types, is they say it's really hard to get through a wintertime in a uninsulated structure. So,
I'm from the I live in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably just as cold there.
Yeah, I don't know. Might get a little colder here. I'm not sure.
We've had record years for snow.
All right. It sounds like you're used to roughing it out there in the van. It might work out for you.
Maybe if you came up here and just met a lot of people somehow, maybe you would just find somebody that was willing to rent you a spot in their land.
Yeah,
is that better
than
a Walmart area? I don't really know.
It sounds like you need to do is find one of these, you need to do some networking, as Bonnie was saying.
Yeah.
And, We can't help you find people who are looking for a spray foam insulation or whatever. I'm sure there are social media groups where you can
I think
do
there's
that.
Like Free State Project jobs boards, and there's
yeah.
the yep, Free State Project
Facebook
Discord.
Facebook pages just for jobs.
Yeah. So I would start in those places, and then, you know, if you're mobile, it's probably no big deal for you to drive up this way and just go to some meetups and start meeting people.
Yeah,
and
the FSP calendar.
Ask around, right. Yeah, fsp.org/calendar. They've got all kinds of public meetings going on. And just start asking around, like, hey, do you know anybody that works in construction or whatever? And then just start meeting people and see what happens. You never know.
Yeah, oh, that's an idea.
All right, bro.
I'm thinking about showing up for Pork Fest at least.
That's a great start. Yeah, great start.
That's what I did.
A week to figure something out.
Right, yeah, block off. If you've got the time for it, block off the time for Pork Fest and then stay another week afterward just so you can kind of tour around New Hampshire and, you know, go meet some people in Manchester or the Seacoast or, you know, wherever else things are happening. Thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. David in New Mexico, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, what's the matter? Jewish bankers don't like competition?
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, they're competing currencies. They have the market cornered in currency, and they don't want to have any competitors. That's the obvious thing.
And there's Christian bankers, too, that also probably don't want competition.
Well, where's Scott the Bigot when you need him?
I don't know.
Scott the Bigot, disappeared.
He comes and goes.
No, I haven't heard from him in, 2 years.
Has it been that long?
He probably did what he said he was going to do. He probably moved to the UK like he said he was going
to
do.
Maybe so. He could still call, though, if he wanted to. What else you got?
Two more same subject, just two more points on the same show. Bonnie's confused. I want to try to help Bonnie get unconfused. You had a problem with you said you thought the Justice Department was supposed to be about justice and not threats, right?
Oh, yeah, sarcastically.
Right. Yeah, but you're confused because it's not the Justice Department. It's the Just Is Department. So when you ask them a question about, you know, why is this like this? And they just say, because it just is. So sit down and shut up. That's what it is. And lastly, if, I'll say it again.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah. If you had, jealously guarded what you had here in this country all through the generations, and obviously you were not alive 235 years ago or whatever it was, more than that now, but if it had been, if what those people shot at their, to use Mark's quote, shots at their government center of mass, what they literally did when they shot at their government center of mass, if what they got after they did shoot their government center of mass was jealously guarded, you wouldn't have this dilemma that you're spending your whole program, well, you know, many whole programs on. You wouldn't have this problem because you wouldn't have
Okay, well, we can blame.
Does anyone else know what the hell David is talking about?
He's complaining about our
forefathers. If we protected the Constitution and didn't let people, start. The thing about it is, I'm getting convinced that there's just no possible way to guard laws that, you know, laws might not be the right word, but make society the way you want it with just words on a piece of paper, because someone else is going to come along and be like, yeah, I interpret it this way. And it's just a little tiny slither here and there, and then one day you just realize there's a big chunk missing out of it. You know, it doesn't seem like there's a way to just be like, we're going to write this down and then everyone will be free forever. You just have to fight for it forever.
Well, I think he was suggesting violence. Thank you for the call tonight, David, and I don't think that works either. I mean, there's been violence done, and look what we got. Right? Violence is their tool.
I wasn't suggesting violence when I said fight. Okay.
Yeah. Bunny, you're absolutely right, though. There's no... We have Christians now. Christians who are pro-nuclear armament, pro-war Christians.
Yeah, that's Jesus would not do that.
In full violation of the teachings of Jesus. So it doesn't seem to matter what you write down or what you say or what you believe. It's going to get twisted into being interpreted to be the exact opposite of what you said. So it doesn't matter if we wrote down the most pro-freedom, pro-liberty document and we built a government from that. Just give it enough time and eventually it will be inverted. If they can twist the words of Jesus into being pro-war, they could twist any pro-liberty document into being pro-state.
It's just the Bible would never have been twisted around if it was just cut out all this crap we don't need to know, and just write down, Jesus said, don't harm anyone else, treat other people how they would be, you want them to be treated. If that's like all that Christians learned about and focused on and the rest was just lore, then I think that Christians would be a lot, you know, more sane. But right now they have like, oh, I'm using this Bible to justify this while also using this Bible verse to justify this. And they just have a big, convoluted, confusing thing.
Well, and if David wasn't talking about violence, maybe he wasn't. If he was just talking about being vigilant and not just, you know, paying attention, watching and seeing what these goons are trying to do and stopping them somehow from doing it using the political process, as we're trying to do here in New Hampshire with the Free State Project that is migrating thousands of like-minded, liberty-oriented people here. Maybe if there was something where you had a group of people that actually had the principles of liberty, they understood that, they understood to not trust the government, and they actually did the things that it took to prevent it from getting larger, maybe we would actually have a better society. But that didn't happen. So, you know, maybe it can happen now, and maybe the Free State Project and the New Hampshire Freedom Migration will be the only real solution. It's certainly the best bet that I can see anywhere on the planet. Whether that'll work out in the long run, I don't know, but it seems to be making some headway.
He certainly said shoot at the heart of government a lot.
And it seemed like violence.
And that raises red flags. I don't support violence.
I don't either. That's what they do. Let's continue here. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
CW.
CW, what's on your mind tonight?
I just want to give a quick shout-out to Mr. Dave Olson, and I wish he would have gave a shout-out to the best radio station that carries UKTOX.
And are you calling, by the way, are you calling from Arizona?
Yes, I am in Arizona, yes.
Very good, sir. Is that all you want to do is just give a shout-out? Because that's not really interesting radio.
Well, I want to shout-out David.
I know, but I want to give a shout-out to David and also do the call letters for the greatest station that carries you in the tri-state area.
Okay. That's it?
We do love K-Talks.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Oh, I thought he had something to say, too.
You don't actually have anything to say, though?
Well, no, I'm just, other than a great show.
All right, man. Well thanks. I do appreciate it. I just want to say, like, we generally have a no-shout-outs rule here on Free Talk Live. I don't talk about it that often.
Well,
just because it's not interesting, you know? Like, call with something to talk about.
But you didn't screen my call.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore. We don't have a call screener.
What? You stopped that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't really do that anymore.
Straight
man.
To air now.
We're going right on the air.
Really?
So, yeah.
So here we go then. This gives me a topic. You're actually doing what KTOX does. They don't have call screeners. They just let any blow schmo schmuck.
Well, we always let anybody on. We never screen calls out. The only reason we ever screened calls was so we knew who was on the line, but now we've got caller ID here. We've got 20-plus minute long segments. So it used to be that if you called in and you were on, you know, our system put you on hold automatically. It used to be that we would make you wait until the next break, which used to be roughly every 10 minutes on this show. And then one of us would check the phones and see who was on the line. Well, now that we do 20-minute long segments, we're not going to make somebody wait 20 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever for somebody to then find out who they are. We're just going to take the calls. So it doesn't matter. The call screening process was only to just see who the person was. We never actually screen people out.
And to help eliminate trolls or to at least prepare us when a suspected troll was on the line.
Yeah, we're going to have to take different measures when the trolls call in, but we'll deal with it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that actually makes sense now, because I thought you only did it to try to confirm who was calling.
Yep, that's all
other
we did.
Than, you know, now that you have the caller ID, you can actually know, unless I have, like, five different phone numbers, and I try to troll you and say, hey, this is me again.
People get tired out. They realize how freaking stupid that is.
Well, yeah. I believe why Ian asked you if you were from Arizona was so that he could save your number in the caller ID system.
That's exactly right.
Well, yeah. Yes, 928 is an Arizona number.
Yeah, we got you. So. Hey, thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. Yeah, this show's never done actual call screening in the way that typical shows do. Your typical talk radio show, they have a topic, and if you aren't calling on that topic, you will be screened out, as they say. If you don't agree with the host on the topic, you may be screened out. They may not be looking for someone who disagrees, right? Like, so they have all kinds of stupid, very controlling policies. The whole reason why Free Talk Live was formed in 2002 was because I was sick of listening to shows where they didn't let anyone call in. And so this show does that. You were saying?
I was just about to say, well, this conversation's getting boring. Let's go to Chuck in Washington.
Chuck in Washington is here. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
I just heard my two brothers from another mother from KTOX, by the way.
Okay.
I can't believe this. This is great. Hey, I just wanted to say, if Dave keeps mentioning Jews, the only people that Jesus Christ has ever hated were the Nicolaitans. Is he a Nicolaitan?
I've never heard of that word.
Me either.
What is that?
I don't know. You got to look up the Book of Revelations, I guess.
You can't just explain it.
Well, Jesus wasn't in the Book of Revelations. He was already dead. Maybe he was in it.
That's right.
Mentioned, but he was dead. So I wouldn't really trust that he hated the Nicolaitans from that, from somebody's vision.
Who is the Nicolaitans?
I don't know. I've never heard that, honestly.
Yeah. All right, then. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call tonight. Sarah in New Mexico, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. I just, it was announced that they had 900 citations related to the license being messed with here in Albuquerque.
Sarah, I was really hoping you were going to, like, come in with an awesome call to follow up the two terrible ones that we just had, and this is what you got.
Yeah.
The three terrible
ones.
No,
but that is it. That is awesome, because you only require one license either in the front or the back. A lot of them, they don't even have none. I mean, or tampered with, everybody runs around anywhere they want here. And it's mostly the ones that got the 5,000 warrants. That it's those guys that have the tampered license plate.
Dang. If I had 5,000 warrants, I probably wouldn't be driving around without a license plate. Surefire way to get pulled over. But New Mexico is another kind of, it's a whole other world. I just can't wrap my mind around the stupid that I've witnessed there.
Oh man.
Believe me. Believe it. You know what I mean?
Believe it. We hear from you every night. We believe it.
Sarah won't call anyone else, though. She told me the other day that she only calls Free Talk Live.
Really?
She refuses to call anyone else. She's too busy, she says. We had a guy inviting her to call K-Talks, I think it was, or something like that. And she absolutely refused to call and spread her message of traffic safety.
Is it because they'll ban her?
No. No, I don't think so. It's just, she says she's just too busy. She's trying to run her network marketing business and all that, and she's got
too
much.
How much time does your pyramid scheme really take?
Well, she refused to answer that question. But you can try and
ask. That's bipolar. It's unpredictable. My time is sometimes I go on it for a couple of days and I drop it and I completely do something else. So there's nothing predictable.
What else do you do? Is it when you say doing something else, do you, like, call the city councilors and complain about stuff? Or what else do you do?
Well, today I called about 5 or 6 reps, and then the HB 22 was passed to committee groups, so it might get voted on in the House. So I got to leave a message for maybe 5 to 6 reps, and that takes a lot of time.
That's the bill that would allow them to put cameras on not just their New Mexico roads, but also the state highways in New Mexico.
Wow, you remember that. That's impressive.
U.S. is the federal highway, but not the freeway. So the freeway, they're banned.
Yeah, I don't care. How long did it take you to call these state reps, Sarah?
Maybe about, altogether, maybe 30, 40 minutes just putzing around.
Okay, that's not a whole lot of time, right?
Okay, yeah.
Like,
calling us now.
I for sure spent that much time on the toilet today.
She's been on hold here for about 40 minutes here on Free Talk Live as we took those other calls. So that's 40 minutes calling the state reps, about another 40 calling Free Talk Live. So we're up to about an hour and a half here so far. What else? What else was your day like? Tell us about your day, Sarah.
Well, I have to cook some bone soup and I have to make sure that Richard is doing okay I already have somebody that I'm taking care of or whatever, so I don't need another guy. That's enough headache. You know what I mean? Please.
We weren't suggesting you need another guy.
I
know what you're saying.
I don't.
She's referring to the caller. The caller wanted to hook her up with somebody in Arizona.
Okay.
Was what the reason why they wanted her to call K-Talks. But okay, so just to follow you here, so you made some bone soup, and you've been taking care of Richard. That's your roommate there. He's in his 70s or whatever. He's a little old. So that took the rest of the day up, making soup and changing his diaper or whatever?
No, I don't take his. He just does stupid stuff like bringing girls home and young girls home and all that stuff.
What? Hold on, Sarah.
You gotta get rid of them?
Now it got interesting.
So Richard's out there bringing young girls home?
Tries to, but they all lie to him and say they're going to show up and don't show up, and they say they're going to call, and they just meet these girls around. That's a lot of stress for me, too.
Where does he meet these girls?
Richard, where do you meet? Where do you meet them?
Oh, she's going to straight up ask him.
I can see he likes homeless girls because they're desperate. He likes to lure them into the house to get them for sex.
That's so fun. This cannot be real. You did not just say that. You say he's out there. He's luring up homeless girls to lure them in for sex. Is that right?
Well, they're obviously scamming him back.
I have no issue with this. If he's got something they want and they have something that he wants, and the two of them can have this mutually beneficial relationship.
But, good for them.
Yeah, good for them, right?
But Sarah doesn't like that.
Yeah, she's intercepting it because she's already got this guy.
Well, she's anti-prostitution as well. She's called in to say she thinks prostitutes and John should go to jail. So are you going to call the cops on Richard now?
Well, technically, this is not. You have to have a monetary, that thing has to be explained. This is not against the law.
Oh, yeah, she didn't say for money.
He's just trying to convince them to have sex. Hold on, wait. He's trying to talk to prostitutes who get paid to have sex into having sex with him without getting paid?
Well, she didn't necessarily say these people were prostitutes.
She just said homeless people.
Young women who were homeless.
Oh.
Right, so maybe he's offering them a place to stay for a few days or a warm meal or whatever. I mean, all relationships are a matter of offering up something, whether it's finances or, I mean, let's be real, or dinner or some cuddle time or whatever.
You know, this
are you jealous of these young girls, Sarah?
So. This is an Albuquerque happening thing. This is what, the homeless girls are so pitifully poor, they'll give themselves up for 3 nights of food and some
But they won't come over, you're saying. They're not actually coming by.
He's trying to get their numbers instead of like, well, hey, come over right now. He's like, well, call me and we'll set it up. No, you got to. The tiger that pounces on the prey gets the prey there, Richard.
Sarah's going to get her out of the house anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, if only Sarah would actually go to work or something, be out of the house, then maybe, you know, Richard could do something. But she's just preventing. She's blocking.
She's blocking.
She's blocking. Richard, thank you for the call tonight, Sarah.
Scumbags in Albuquerque do this kind of stuff.
There's nothing scumbag about it. It's scratch your back, I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back.
Will you tell Richard he needs to get a Tinder?
Wait a minute, doesn't he give you discounted rent so you can cook and clean the house for him?
His phone suit.
Well, he's looking at me naked.
Yeah.
All right. It was a better call. Thank you for the call tonight. Out of time. See you tomorrow online. In the meantime, at freetalklive.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Barada. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.